And have you noticed how many really smart young women there are in science in Australia? We have lots in The Science Show. And next, here's Sammy Bailey from the University of Newcastle, author of the gorgeous Encyclopedia of Ugly Animals, which you may have seen on ABC television, one of the books of the year. One or two surprises, for example, you've got a brush turkey and you've got an ibis there. They're too common to be ugly, aren't they?
Well, that's the thing. Many of these animals in the book are actually not from Australia. So they're from around the world. And we see them as ugly and very bizarre and unusual. But yet we see an ibis or we see a brush turkey in the right areas almost daily. They're so common to us that they're just normal. But so many people, I believe, will be seeing this book that haven't seen them before and go, oh my goodness, what is that? What is that hideous yellow thing? Why is that bald? Why does it have that beak shape? So I think it was really important to include animals that we see as almost normal now, but they do unfortunately fit the ugly kind of characteristics.
One that we don't see very much, unless we happen to be down way south, is the elephant seal. Absolutely extraordinary. It's gigantic. It's got this great big conch and it's also smelly.
Yeah,
but the thing is, I find you've got an awful lot of information there, beautifully placed, which tells you more. Now, when you look at the elephant seal and you just imagine it jumps into the sea and does various things, catching fish or whatever, it can hold its breath for 2 hours. How did you find that out?
The research was so much fun for me to do. I thought it was an amazing opportunity for me to not only learn the anatomy of these animals, but also everything behind them. I had to do all of the fun research.
It's called fun facts.
Yes, exactly. So I got to split it up into different categories to make it suitable for children of young ages who can just look at the picture, have a good laugh, and then the older children as well, or the adults and the grandparents, and go through each section and then condense like fun facts at the end to kind of sum it all up. And I think it's really important to have that variety for all ages.
But you're not a scientist, are you?
I am not, unfortunately. Well, I'm a natural history illustrator, but definitely no scientist.
So you're an artist.
Yes.
And there's one, looks like a kind of distorted fish with lipstick on.
Yes, it's very handsome, isn't it? Okay, here we are.
Oh, it's awful, the marabou stork.
That is, I've said it before and I'll say it again, this is my absolute favourite to paint and it is my favourite visually. It's just, I love it.
Huge beak, red face and plaintive eyes. And this huge sac hanging below its head, really, off the body, covered in capillaries or something. What's it for?
So it has an interesting purpose. So the males have one. And when they're not inflated, they're saggy and you don't necessarily see them. The males breathe in through their nostrils and they will inflate this sac and it'll become quite large. And then through that, they can make these calls to the females in quite a guttural sense, like it's quite a noisy sound to call the females in.
Have you heard the sound ever?
I have, and I'm not going to mimic it, so...
Give it a go.
Oh, no. I think it's quite like a croaky... I couldn't do it justice. I really couldn't. I think that sounds good enough. I'll take that.
Well, there are various birds knocking on the door as we speak.
They're coming running.
Cassowary. Now, I've never thought of the cassowary as ugly.
I've had a few people say that, and I think that's one of the magical parts of this book, is that I obviously gathered all of these animals and had to choose 60 ugly ones in my definition, and this stood out. It was between this and the emu, and I thought, oh, I think this one with the kind of long, dangly appendages under its neck, I thought this one ticks the ugly box, but I've had so many people say, that's not ugly, how dare you? So I think it's wonderful that everyone has a different opinion.
It's incredibly flamboyant with the colours. It's got deep blue and red and that crown, of course, and looking in a very severe way at you. And of course, they do chase people. I know they can be dangerous.
Yeah, I've heard. I remember doing my research to try and see if many people had actually been killed by a cassowary. And there was a couple of reports. I think there was one recently in Florida where it was a pet, unfortunately, and it all went badly, I think. But I think there was also some stories of them attacking dogs and then therefore children getting involved trying to help the dog and then the children getting injured and unfortunately dying. But it's very, very rare that people will die. It's more so that those big long talons on the feet can do a lot of damage and you don't want to get in their way.
Finally, the one that, of course, got the universal accolade in a competition is the blobfish. The blobfish looks like a politician I know quite well, except the politician is more ugly and more pissed off, frankly. That scowl, this poor thing.
Yeah, I've actually had a few people tell me that too, and I thought, I wonder who, but it's starting to all come together now. So
Barnaby Joyce?
I think so, yes. But yeah, the interesting thing about this is most people would have seen the blobfish quite deflated, quite sad looking, and like a squished bit of fat. I had to illustrate it this way so people recognise it. But fun fact about that is that when they're actually in their habitats, they don't look like that. I've got a drawing in here to show what they do look like in more of their natural sense. And they're almost like any other fish. So if you went down and saw them, you wouldn't really think much of it. But because they are so far down, the pressure changes. So they don't have the same body. So it's almost like they become ripped up by trawlers into a different environment and their bodies are just not ready for it. So that's why they look the way they do now when they're out of the water, and they are ugly to us, but in their habitats, they're actually quite normal. I think it would be quite attractive to the ladies down there.
Yes, if there was any light to see in the dark.
Very true.
About the fact that you're at the University of Newcastle and there's a tradition here of natural history illustrations gone on for some time. Did you actually do a degree in it?
Yes, so I did the 3-year Bachelor of Natural History Illustration, and I moved down from Port Macquarie, where I was living and doing school, with my family to come and do this course, because it's the only one in the Southern Hemisphere, and I thought it was perfect for me. It had that mixture of realism, science and art, and I just really loved that. And then I actually did a 4th year of honours, which I completed last year, and I didn't want to leave, so I stuck around for honours, but it was such a magical degree, and I am so glad that I found it and did it.
Have you shown this book to some young people so far?
I have. It's gotten a good reception so far. Lots of laughs.
Well, the hope we have is that this sort of fun approach will turn them onto science.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a good way to attract kids to a different sort of book. They can enjoy the images and find them funny, but then once they actually do start to read some of the information and realise that a lot of these animals are endangered or they're suffering somehow, and we really need to help them before it's too late. And I think, you know, targeting children who have that power when they grow up to make those changes is really important.
One last selection. You take something.
Favourite. Let's see how quickly I can get to it. Found it. The Suriname toad. So the Suriname toad is quite dark and brown and muddy appearance, and it has a posterior packed with pores. So essentially the male configures those eggs on top through the breeding, but then the female grows a layer of skin over the top of those eggs. And then once the babies are ready to hatch from their little pores, they push out almost like a little blackhead. And so it's very disturbing to watch. A lot of people suffer from trypophobia. So warning, don't Google it if you do suffer from that. And then they swim out and they're ready to go.
Reminds me to some extent of the possibly extinct gastric brooding frog.
Oh.
Where they're actually swallowed and the stomach is turned off. And it's a brooding pouch, the actual stomach. And they give birth through the mouth. And we filmed that, I think, around 1988 in the Nature of Australia series on television. So we've got proof.
Wow, I would love to see that, but also not. I'm glad that humans aren't like that.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Sammy Bailey with her really delightful book, The Illustrated Encyclopedia of Ugly Animals, a present for young and old. And I hope that that course in natural history art continues at the University of Newcastle.